there is a tendency to trivialize the hand of God in your life. The grace of God is free, but it's not cheap. Did you hear what I said? It's free, but it's not what? It's not cheap. When grace is at work, you will think it's just play. How did it happen? That will be your testimony. Yes. Hallelujah. And so, when you see the grace of God at work, the right response is to thank Him. Never take any hand of God in your life for granted. The right response is what? To thank Him. To thank the Lord. And that's why I'm trying to lay down this culture of thanking the Lord. For some people, they just feel like, oh, it's just a TV. God. Even if it is, we thank Him. The Bible says, Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And one came back and cried with a loud voice and said, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? You know, I was studying something recently for Gaze on Wednesday. When manna fell from heaven, or what we call bread fell from heaven. The actual name is not manna, because manna means what is this? When bread fell from heaven, do you know what it means? That you were hungry and God, maybe you were in your room and bread fell, sandwich bread. Hey, God. And it fell in their heaps. The people of Israel picked it and ate. The next day it fell again. And guess what they said? What is this? That's what manna means. In local parlance, is you are saying, waiting be this. And that's what many people do to the Lord. And the Lord was showing me that that's one of the reasons why the Israelites died in the wilderness. When God is doing something for you, instead of you to say, thank you, Jesus, you are looking at all the other things He has not done. Are you following me? And you are removing your eyes from what He has done. Let me tell you, there's a temptation to always look at what is not done. For me as a pastor, as lead pastor, Newbury Christian Community, there could be a temptation to say, we have not bought land. I will buy. Amen? Amen. But if I look back, I have to be grateful. No. If I'm not grateful, you are a great fool. I'm telling you. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Practice it. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. And so that's why I'm taking my time to just reemphasize this. Look at your life. Look at how far He has brought you. I know 2024 may not have looked like the best of years, but thank Him. You know, like I always say, that you are breathing is proof that God has not given up on you. That you are still breathing is proof. My life, this is just the beginning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, I want to introduce a new teaching series, which we have titled The Supernatural Church. No, in Abuja, after the conference 2 Saturdays ago, a young man met me and said, Pastor, I don't dream. I don't dream. But I don't understand this ministry I came to. He said, last night, I saw your wife as an interesting. And she came with a white gown. And I knew, even though it was the face of your wife, I knew it was the Lord Jesus. I just knew. And he pointed to me and said, all your prayers have been answered. Amen. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. You know, testimonies are contagious. If God visits your neighbor, it's proof that it's in your neighborhood, Abi. So he said unto him, all your prayers have been answered. And he woke up. I pray for you too. All your prayers have been answered. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jude chapter 1 from verse 3. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless your word. We are edified. We are blessed. We are transformed in the name of Jesus. Jude 1 verse 3. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Say after me, contend for the faith. This, when I spoke to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So he's saying in Jude chapter 1 from verse 3 that if you don't contend for the faith has the possibility to drop in standard. Are you with me? In every generation, you must contend for the faith. In your life, you must contend for the faith. Because if you don't,
You can get to the point where you are comfortable with being cold spiritually. You are comfortable with not being spiritual or supernatural. So you need to contend for it. You need to ensure that you grow. You know, as a pastor, I have come to discover that, listen, it is easier to raise people who don't care about the things of God. We can come for a service and all we do is suya night and fun fiesta. And we are just playing. But there is something truly on the heart of God. And I want to encourage you, listen, don't be a spectator here. Be an actor. Get involved. Ensure you understand what the Spirit of God is saying with these people. Because it's one thing to attend the church and you are not really in sync with what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's one thing to attend the church and not say, those guys, let me just visit them today. And you don't pay attention to the Word of God, to the things of the Spirit. You are not being changed. It's possible. And so, the Holy Spirit has been showing me, it's time to emphasize the supernatural. Say after me, the supernatural. So I want to begin. What is a supernatural church? A supernatural church is a church that flows in the power of God. A supernatural church is a church where the things of the Spirit are normal. It is a church that does natural things supernaturally and supernatural things naturally. A supernatural church is a church that knows God and expresses God intimately. Let me go over everything I just said again. The supernatural church is a church that flows in the power of God. Now, I know that phrase, a supernatural church or the supernatural church, is even a dichotomy for some people. Because you know what they are used to? A supernatural man of God. They are not used to a supernatural church. But God's plan is that every one of us, the church, will be a supernatural church. Tell me, we're a supernatural church. Amen. So, the supernatural church is the church that flows in the power of God. The supernatural church is the church where the things of the Spirit are normal. It's a church that does natural things supernaturally and supernatural things naturally. A church that hears God and knows God experientially and intimately. So, number one, there's some basic things you need to know about the supernatural church. Number one, God's plan is for all of us to be supernatural. One of the stories in the Bible that really buttresses this point, we see it in Numbers chapter 11 from verse 15. Moses was complaining to God. He says, "And if thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." Verse 16. "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee." What was happening? The burden of leading 3 million people was too much for Moses. Are you with me? He was getting weary with leading 3 million people and he was tired. He said, "You know what? God, kill me." And God said, "You know what? Instead of you to die, bring 70 other people. I will take up the Spirit upon thee and put upon them." Let me tell you, impartation is a real concept. Oh, it's a real concept. There's a young man here, I won't call his name. Followed me. See, at the point, we say, this guy talks like Pastor David. A time now came, he went into school. When he was telling me about the scholarships he was receiving, I remember that was the same way I received scholarships when I was in the university. The same way. So, when you come for a service, and I say, "Speed is upon you." Thank you, Jesus. It's a real concept. We're not the ones that made it up. God is the one that made it up. You know, sometimes I even look at my life and I remember some meetings. I remember some impartation meetings. At least you have heard me talk about three major ones. Talk about when I was with the man of God, Pastor Benny Hinn, the man of God, Bishop David Oyedepo, and the man of God, Dr. Sam Amaga. I remember those things very fresh. It's a real concept. So, God was telling Moses that I will take up the Spirit upon thee and put upon the 70 elders, and they will bear the burden with you. Now, jump to verse 24. "And Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave to the 70 elders, and it came to pass. When the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went out not into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. Verse 27. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Aaron and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Verse 28. And Joshua the son of Nun, the son of Moses, one of his young men answered and said, my Lord, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Are you seeing this? So Moses was being weary in leading the 3 million people, and he said, oh God, I need help. And God said, you know what? 70 people, I will put the grace upon you to lead upon them. And so the way Israel was structured, there is the tabernacle and there is the camp. Usually the tabernacle is in the center of the camp. So when they are doing something, something spiritual, the people who are summoned will go to the tabernacle or inside the tabernacle or around the tabernacle. And every other person who is not so-called worthy, are you with me? We stay outside. And everybody who was not summoned, we stay in the actual camp while the called people or the written people will camp around the tabernacle. And so God descended and took the spirit upon Moses and put upon those 70 people. And they began to prophesy. They began to prophesy. But guess what? The Holy Spirit knew that there were other people written that were not there. And traced them where they were in the camp. I can imagine maybe they were somewhere buying gari. And somebody was trying to soak gari and granite. And all of a sudden, he fell down and started prophesying. And the people in the camp ran to Moses and said, Moses, these guys are prophesying. Stop them. How have they come to your level now? Moses did not say, ha. So we are now rubbing shoulders, Abi. So wait. This is how he wants to be. That's not what Moses did. Moses said, why are you envious for my sake? Don't you know that I want the Lord to put his spirit upon all his people? Are you with me? He says, would God that he will put his spirit upon all his people, and all of them were prophets. That means this prayer of Moses. This is Moses' prayer, that all of God's people were prophets and his spirit will rest upon them. You know, before I used to think that church is when there's just this man of God. Of course, there's the place of the man of God. But his job is to raise other men of God. All of us. And guess what? This prayer of Moses was answered at the day of Pentecost. When Peter was trying to explain what happened when they spoke in tongues. He said, this is that which was spoken by prophet Joel, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I will pour out my spirit upon your handmaidens and your servants. Everybody. Say after me, everybody. Say after me, everybody. So that's one. God's plan for the supernatural is that all of us will function in it. Secondly, you need to understand that the supernatural life is your inheritance in Christ. Say after me, is my inheritance in Christ. Say after me, the supernatural life is my inheritance in Christ. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then it says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Glory! Glory! Go back to verse 17 again. And these signs shall follow them that believe. The question I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? That means if you believe, signs follow you. Tell me, signs follow me. See, you have to accept this now. It's your reality. Do you know what it means for Jesus to say, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That means, hey God, if you are not speaking in tongues, it's either you don't believe, or you believe and there is something you don't know. Are you with me? How can you be a Christian for the past 10 years and in your life, demons are still manipulating you, pressing you in the night, manipulating you with all kinds of strange encounters. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You know, people say he's talking about some gift of the Spirit. If you check 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul listed out the gift of the Spirit, there is no gift of the Spirit called the gift of casting out devils. Every believer can cast out devils. The problem is that they've not been taught. Some of them have never heard it before. But Jesus is saying here that if you believe, you can cast out devils. Say to me, I can cast out devils. I can speak with tongues. Even if I'm not yet speaking in tongues, say after me, I can speak with tongues. When I take deadly things, they don't harm me. When I take deadly things, they don't harm me. Glory. This is our inheritance. Let me tell you, if you die and go to heaven, if at the end of the age you go to heaven and all the saints are discussing, they said, did you cast out the devil? No. You're like, you didn't cast out the devil? You never spoke in tongues? Did you heal somebody? And you're like, maybe it's all for the pastors. Apostle Mark, that all those always said, then what were you doing? Are you following me? What were you doing? John chapter 3. Chapter me, I walk in the supernatural. I walk in the supernatural. Glory. What I'm doing is one of the ways to train yourself. How can you be a believer? You are going to church for 10 years. They keep duping you. You keep entering one chance. You keep entering 419. And no discernment. Something is wrong. Are you getting me? Something is wrong. Tell them I flow in the supernatural. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came by night to Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let me explain this because I know it may be in somebody's mind. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit. If you check very well, the "of" there is in brackets. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? That means when they were translating it, they had an issue. So they put it there. Some people think this is water baptism and spirit baptism. But like I've explained before, this is saying born of the Spirit. Let me read it the way it ought to be read. Jesus answered, very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, which is the Spirit. Except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, to buttress this point, see verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He did not say that which is born of the water and of the Spirit is spirit. In the next verse, the water disappears because the water and the Spirit represent the same thing. When you study Jewish culture, the reason why they emphasize water is talking about the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? The cleansing power, the refreshing power. Please don't miss that. Hallelujah. I'm actually going to verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. As the wind bloweth where it listeth. 1, 2, 3, go start again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. I cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What is telling you here that is to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. And if you are born of the Spirit, they cannot decode you the same way you cannot decode the wind. Let me tell you, this is a strong meditation point for when they are monitoring you. You are like the wind. How can you monitor the wind? Have you not been at places where it looked like it was going to rain? Wind was blowing everywhere. You thought it was blowing here. You wanted to face here. You discovered that this is where it's actually blowing from. Then you thought the rain was going to fall heavily. You discovered that it stopped raining. Just the same way you cannot decode wind, you cannot decode the believer. He's telling that the believer has a supernatural DNA. Are you with me? Oh, am I talking to strangers here? That is something to rejoice about. Tell them I have a supernatural DNA. I have a supernatural DNA. I am like the wind. Glory. Praise the Lord. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you cannot tell where the sound thereof is going to. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Tell them, I am supernatural. I am supernatural. I am born of the Spirit. Glory. You know, Paul, speaking to Timothy, he said, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power. He said, the spirit you have received carries power inside. Are you with me? Tell them, the spirit I have received in Christ carries power inside. Let me tell you, this is a law. It's one of the laws of the Spirit. If you don't know it, you cannot use it. I remember one day, I was in darkness in my office working, struggling to see with my laptop, working. And I was struggling there for about 1 hour. All of a sudden, it just dawned on me that I was not hearing generator sound anywhere. Everywhere was quiet. I said, let me try and put on this switch. Lo and behold, there had been light. I put on the extension. There was light. Interesting. Then it dawned on me. You know the Bible says, I received instruction. It dawned on me. You can have all the power. If you don't know, you cannot walk in it. If you don't know, you cannot walk in it. The Bible says in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Do you know what happened to you when you believed in Jesus? Some of you, you have to learn to talk like this. Satan, leave my finances. Oh yeah, let's practice. In the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off my finances. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. How Jesus appeared to him in his room. And he asked Jesus, how do you pray for finances? He said, one of the things Christians do not know, that Satan attacks finances. Satan attacks finances. I have heard strange things. So you may not have seen things. I have seen and heard strange things. On counseling table. When somebody goes to market, makes a profit of 100,000, goes back to the house, counts it, it is 40,000. Like, have you seen that kind of thing before? Like, they counted it before they left. They counted it. Counted it, 100,000. Went back home, opened the bag, and it was 40,000. They did their like this. Satan, take your hands off their finances. Say after me, Satan, take your hands off my finances. Amen. So number one, supernatural is for everyone. Number two, the supernatural is the inheritance in Christ. Number three, even though the supernatural is the inheritance in Christ, you must desire it. Tell me, desire it. You must desire it. Even though God has said this is what you, who you be on, this is what, who you are in Him. If you don't desire it, you may not walk in it. Like for instance, if I did not desire to check for light, I would have been there. My laptop, my phone would have died, but there was light. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus, in John chapter 7, the Bible says, in that last day, the great day of the feast, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means for you to drink the water, you must be thirsty. You must be thirsty. I'm telling you, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Where is your hunger for the supernatural? You know the funny thing? Everybody has that hunger for the supernatural. Everybody. If you see somebody who is not hungry for God or hungry for the supernatural, he did something to himself to drown it. Sometimes you know what I'm talking about. You just stand, you just feel like worshiping. You're like, I'm feeling dry. I need some refreshing. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That's why music is powerful. Because you are there feeling down and somebody starts singing, something more than gold. I've got something more than gold. And after a while, you feel like something is entering inside of you and bringing peace to your heart. That's the refreshing of the Spirit. Satan made desire. Remember when Jesus was walking upon the water and he walked on the water, was getting to the boat, and Peter said, if it's you that's walking on the water, bid me to come. That means, oh my God, if Peter did not ask Jesus for the opportunity, Jesus would have entered the boat, they would have gone home, and Peter would not have known that he could walk on water also. Ah. You must desire. Tell anybody, desire. The next time you see someone struggling with a demon spirit, don't just escape. See, go there and say the name of Jesus. And see, I'm trying to raise God a supernatural church.
Because that's how I started. Oh my God, I remember. Secondary school then, university days. Ah! On the road, you know, a school that has 7,000 to 9,000 students, they must be, there are demons. Demons everywhere. Jesus. One day I was coming back from class and I saw this guy. Satan is a bastard. Wicked spirit. Just embarrassed this young man. He was talking to a fine babe. Two of them were just talking. Talking to a girl. I was living like this. They were like, ah, what's happening? Then acting like he was mad on the road. People started trying to hold him. And he said, leave me! I want to naked myself. He was acting that way. I was passing. I wanted to say, my guy, you go your go. Just day your day. But the spirit within me, the spirit of power said, don't miss this opportunity now. Go and release Jesus to this guy. Somebody said, oh, what if I did something that did not happen? Let me tell you, something happened in the spirit even though you did not see it yet. Yes. I will get to that shortly. So I was like, should I go to this guy or should I just go my own? I went. My spirit was disturbing me. The spirit of power. He has given the spirit of love or power. There is power inside. Ah, somebody said there's power inside. So I went back to him and said, follow me. And he stood attention and turned. Like, who is talking to me? And everybody was just looking. I said, follow me. He began talking like this. My God. I carried him like that to the room. Prayed for him. He slept off. Woke up and did not know what happened. Woke up and was asking, how did I reach here? I was in class, so. I pray for you. Every manipulation of Satan in your family. Every manipulation of Satan in your life. We command fire upon it in the name of Jesus. In this month, your fire begins to burn. In this month, your fire begins to burn. With greater intensity. You function in power. Whatever has delayed you this long, in the name of God, it is lifted. You are free to fly. You are free to run. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Say after me, I'm blessed. Say after me, I believe in Jesus. Therefore, I have power in my inside. I have power on 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 my inside. I am not powerless. I am not powerless. I am full of power. Glory! You see what I'm telling you to do? This is one of the ways to charge up. You are stirring it up. As you are talking, you are stirring it up. I have power on my inside. I have power on my inside. Satan is defeated. The devil is under my feet. You know, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ and members in particular. It means that if we are the body of Christ, the smallest Christian is above the biggest devil. That means even if you are the feet of Christ, the Bible says Satan has become his footstool. That means the smallest believer is above the devil. Ah! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Finally, on some basics, you must be trained. You must be trained. Like I'm doing right now. We are training you. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1 to 11. The Bible says, and the child Samuel went down unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Verse 4, it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And Samuel called, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. God was not talking to the prophet Eli. He was talking to young boy Samuel. Every time somebody heard that voice, he will go and meet Eli. Like some of you, God will wake you up by 3 a.m. in the night. Wake up. You cannot understand. You wake up. A song is playing in your heart. You go back and sleep again. God is trying to tell you, they are trying to do some incantations in your village. Wake up and change the verdict. He said, no, I want to sleep. Then rain will start falling. Are you what I'm saying? God was calling Eli, calling Samuel. He will go to Eli. After a while, Eli said, God is talking to this guy. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Aye. He's telling him that if you are going to flow in the supernatural, you will learn to respond to God. You cannot be inhibiting his flow. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's people in church. When we are laying hands on people, they say, receive. They say, me, I no go for here. Me, I no one follow. They are touch, they lay hands on you. Sometimes, hands may not even be laid on you. You can just feel something going through you. You're like, no, no, no. I will not fall. You want to try me? You are resisting the spirits. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He said, Lord, flow. You may fall and discover that all the things the devil is trying to do has fallen away. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. So Eli trained him. By the time he got to verse 21, the Bible says, Samuel had become established to be a prophet unto the Lord in all Israel. Everybody knew that, this one had collected. Because he was trained. There is spiritual apprenticeship. Like I'm training you right now. I'm waiting for your testimonies.
Amen.
You must desire it, and then you must be trained. And so, in the remaining 5 minutes, or in 5 minutes, because I still have some work to do, let me give you a simple training. The first training in the law of the supernatural is the law of faith. See, after the law of faith. You must understand that what is real is not what you can see. You must understand that the spirit realm is a real realm. The spirit realm is a real realm. The law of faith. Hebrews 11 from verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So, he's telling you that even though you have not seen a thing, that thing can be real. Are you following me? You must appreciate the spirit realm. If you don't know this, you'll be limited. The law of faith. Mark chapter 11. And when the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight, he's saying that we have another sight that's not the natural sight. And that sight is the sight of faith. Mark 11 from verse 12. The Bible says, in verse 12, and on the morrow, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. So he came to a fig tree, or maybe he came to a mango tree, expecting to see mangoes or figs. Are you with me? But he did not see a fig, he didn't see a mango. So there was no fruit on the tree. He saw nothing but leaves. And Jesus changed it for the tree. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. It's not, I said it in my heart. Are you following me? His disciples did what? Heard it. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, after some days, perhaps a week or 2 weeks, we don't know. But he said, when evening was come, at a later time, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou causedst is withered away. And Jesus answered, saith unto him, have faith in God. And Jesus answering, saith unto him, have faith in God. Now see verse 23, everybody, verse 23. For verily, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hey! He's telling you that don't believe because you have seen the tree withered. If you spoke and you did not doubt in your heart, it was already withering. That's why he was teaching Peter here. That the Lord, the Spirit saying, because of God, I have a substance of things hoped for. Because of God. Are you with me? Because of God, my words are not empty. Don't neglect the supernatural realm. Don't neglect the spirit realm. For instance, when you come to somebody and say, in the name of Jesus, you are blessed or you are healed. Now, what's the connection between a hand laid and drugs? That's the spirit realm. And so you will see Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. He says, neglect not the gift of God which is in thee. Because if you despise it, you will not see it come to pass. Are you with me? He says, neglect not the gift of God which is in thee, which was given by prophecy. That means by talking, you can receive something. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. By talking. Chapter me, I believe in the Spirit. Chapter me, I believe in the realm of the Spirit. You know, when I read about Esau and Jacob, sometimes I ask myself, they were just struggling to get a man to talk. All the blessing they were fighting for, they were struggling to get somebody to say, you are blessed. For instance, like I said in Abuja the other time, have you seen Birthright before? Have you seen a Birthright like this? Say, this is Birthright. You will never see that. But the Bible says, Esau despised his birthright. He did not know when he was saying, what is birthright to me? Give me food. Give me beans and yam. Or porridge. Give me food. So when you see somebody every morning, see as I just pile like this. You don't know you are talking. You are creating something. See, I don't say my own no good. The realm of the spirit is a real realm. Thank you, Father. So you must accept it. You must believe it. That my words are not empty. The power of God, even if I didn't feel anything, if God said it, I believe it. The process of accepting the spirit realm is called believing. That process of accepting something, even if you have not seen it, is called believing. So tell me, I believe. And that's where I'm going to end today. Chapter me, I believe. Luke chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you neglect the gift of God, which is in thee, which came by laying on of hands, you won't see the result. But it tells you in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. It says, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance. Hey, of those things which were told up from the Lord. Blessed is she that believeth. Blessed is he that believeth. Ask your neighbor, do you believe? We'll come back to Luke 1 verse 45. Our last verse for today. Romans 4 verse 18. Romans 4 verse 18. So now, you went to pray for somebody. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And the person says again, ah, it's not work. It's not a work. You know what's happening to you? You are beginning to doubt. Bible says, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, let me tell you something. Satan is against your faith. Just after Jesus was declared thou art the Son of God, Satan came and said, if thou be the Son of God, after you just declared in church, Satan, shake hands on my finances. You put on your phone, you see two debit alerts. Where is it coming from? I thought they said, Satan, take hands on my finances. The devil is trying to play games on you. See, after me, I believe. He says, talking about Abraham here, he says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. I don't know what goes through your mind when you read this verse. He says, he believed that he might become. That means when you believe, you will eventually become. He believed to become. Ah, yeah. I believe. Say after me, I believe. I believe my life will not end this way. I believe 2024 is my year. I believe this is my year of increase. This is my year of quantum leaps. Oh, no matter what I face, I still believe. No matter what I see, I believe. Jump on your feet.